Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is in the front row. And we have the privilege and pleasure of serving this community. And we love it, love it, love it. If you're a guest here, you haven't been here once or twice or three times, more than that, we want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. Our prayer for you this morning is that you would encounter Jesus. You would hear his voice. You know you're loved. You'd experience him. And if we do that, if we encounter Jesus, mission accomplished. Becca, I so appreciate, she's the young lady that was up here at the end. So appreciate the word that you shared. It was life to me. Last week, we're going to get into the book of Acts again this morning. And last week I mentioned that on September 29, which is the fifth Sunday of that month, we're going to have baptisms, water baptisms. And so if you have not been water baptized, if you're 9 or 99 and you have not been water baptized, circle the calendar. We'd love to do that on that morning with you. It's important. It's life-changing. There's breakthrough in it. So just a reminder, if you weren't here last week, we are going to do that. Fifth Sunday family. It's family Sunday. It's going to be the fifth Sunday. There's a whole bunch of F's in there previously, but it's fifth Sunday coming up in September, and it'll be fun. We are looking in the book of Acts, and this week we're going to jump into chapter 13. Last Sunday, if you were here, we were looking into Acts chapter 12, funny enough. And it's a fabulous chapter, wonderful chapter 12. And the first martyr after Jesus happened in one of the Jesus' main disciples, James, lost his life. And then Peter was imprisoned, and the whole church gathered together in prayer to see that Peter's life was spared. Peter's life was spared. An angel came in the middle of the night, got him out. He went to a house where the prayer meeting was, one of the houses where one of the prayer meetings was. A young girl got so excited hearing Peter's voice, she ran inside, didn't open the door. And the people in the prayer meeting who were praying to get Peter out argued with her, it can't be Peter. He's in prison. And they were more apt to believe that it was Peter's angel than Peter himself because he's in prison while they're praying that he would get out of prison. Very humorous, but it finished up in chapter 12, which we didn't go into last week. But I just would like to read at the very, very beginning, Acts chapter 13, 1 through 12, out of the New American Standard Bible. And in this chapter, the believers, a story account is in the city of Antioch. And I spoke about that city and God's hand on that city. It was a pagan city, corrupt city, ugly city. Think Las Vegas today. It was just known for lasciviousness and all sorts of ugly things happening. And the believers went there, revival broke out, and a church broke out, a powerful, powerful church. And we'll see more in the next 4 or 5 weeks about this church in Antioch and its influence. So if I can, just read Acts 13, 1 through 12. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, a Manaean who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, When they reached Salamis, or Salamis, as some people would say, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, Bar-Jesus, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who is also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud." Very subtle. Saul sledgehammered Paul. "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." He's just getting started. "Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the power of the word of God. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you want us to understand you, understand and know your ways, understand how you have moved upon men and women, how you've changed them, taken me and them and us from darkness to light. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you breathe upon the word of God to make it real, make it alive, that truth would jump off the page into our hearts, Lord, we would mix it with faith this day. Holy Spirit, that we would hear your voice through the brilliance and beauty of your word. It would move us, it would change us. You would have your way with us, Lord, that we would walk out different today, having looked into your word, heard your voice, made great choices, and move forward in faith to step into more fully our calling and who you've called us to be. Bless our time here. Thank you for this time. And everyone said, amen and amen. Powerful passage of scripture, wonderful passage of scripture. And in verse 1 of chapter 13, there's a whole bunch of prophets and teachers gathered together, and it names five, and we won't go into it. There's gold right there in verse 1 about a very, very different group of people gathered together, as the community is supposed to look different. Age, race, culture, education, in every way, when the family comes together, it's not supposed to look all the same. And this group of people, very, very, very different people. And I'll just mention one, Manaen. Sorry, I couldn't resist. He's the fourth one mentioned. It says in verse 1, and Manaen, he's one of the prophets and the teachers, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. This guy, Manaen, was raised with King Herod. And King Herod was a wicked, vile king. It mentions him earlier. And it's seemingly from this text, Manaen grew up with King Herod. Whether they were both rich and famous, well-to-do, we don't know that much about Manaen. But they grew up together. And it's so funny. I remember in my growing up, some of my friends went this way in life. Some of my friends went that way in life. And it doesn't make any difference what our background was. It's what are we choosing to be today? The path we want to move forward. And this man, probably raised with money, with fame, with prestige, knowing the luxury and the easy life, found his way as a Jew following Jesus. And God wants and will always use our background. And it's funny that this man wasn't known for anything else in the scripture other than he was raised with a vile king. But he made great choices. And I wonder today if the Holy Spirit wants to help you make a great choice. Maybe leaving your past and things that hindered you. Maybe your bowl is or was crusty. And maybe the soaking of the Lord and the word of the Lord and the presence of the Lord wants to remove that crustiness from the bowl of my heart, the bowl of your heart, so that we can start making great decisions and end up written and living in a legacy that the word of God accounts. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're Menahem. Your past may not have been brilliant or beautiful, but I can promise you with Jesus, your future is. Every time. Let's move on to verse 2, because this actually is the crux of what I want to communicate this morning. Let me just read verse 1 again. Now there were at Antioch, in the city, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, son of encouragement. We're going to start seeing him more and more and more in the word of God here, moving forward. Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menahem, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." I love this. And the first time I noticed this word ministering, it challenged me. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I was not raised in church. I did not have a church background. I came in ugly at the age of 18. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't even know who Jesus was. I didn't know about water into wine, walking on water. I mean, I was a blank sheet, which is good in some ways. I didn't have tons to unlearn other than sin. But at least I didn't have to get rid of religiosity in many ways and things that were old understandings that the Bible wouldn't support or purport. But in verse 2, it starts with a phrase that jumped out to me, and it still jumps out to me. The scripture says they were ministering to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but it would have to do with what Greg talked about when he was showering off all his grass junk. Were you sliding in the yards or were you cutting grass? Kind of going into second base, safe, out? You're involved. It was challenging. But I read ministering and I think, what can Tom Kyle, what could I possibly add to a holy God? What can I bring a holy, righteous, perfect, pure God, King? What can I add to him? He's got everything. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. And yet these people are ministering to him. And just the wording, the phraseology, it got my attention. And if I could say this, especially as someone who's lived his entire life in the West, and an American. I've been in church life now 47 years. Lots of meetings, lots and lots of meetings. And we can slip into a mentality in the West as Americans about going to meetings. Anybody ever feel like they want to rate, judge a sermon? 4.9, he can do better. Lord Jesus, help him wind it up. Or worship. Ever been in a worship time? I don't like that song. That's not a good song. I don't like that word. It's too slow. It should be faster. It's too fast. It should be slower. Why is he singing? Why isn't she singing? I know you're not like that, and you would never cross your mind. You're not like that because you're good and pure and righteous and holy. I, however, sometimes I'll be, Lord Jesus, make the voices stop. And it's so easy for me as an American to slip into a consumer mentality. I'm here to hear a good message. I'm here for excellent worship. I'm here for excellent worship. That's what I want. I doggone it. Wrist on this. I got up early this morning. I want better than that. God bless you. I know you're trying. Points for effort. I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit's looking at me as someone is worshiping, singing, preaching, teaching. And the Holy Spirit's looking at me and saying, Tom, it's the eternal word of God. You're sitting, standing, singing to a perfect, holy God. And the Holy Spirit, I wonder, and thank you, Jesus, I don't believe he does ever assess me while I'm assessing the meeting. You ever have those thoughts? Maybe not. But in this group of people, they came together, potentially, the text would lend itself to, they didn't come together for teaching. They didn't come together for a worship set. The purpose of them coming together was they were ministering to him. Not to grade a message, or to grade the music, or to grade the worship leader, or the singer, or if the drummer can keep a beat. They're ministering to King Jesus, which means it is possible that as a son, a child, I can offer something to him that's pleasing. In the Old Testament, they would bring sacrifices. They would sacrifice an animal. They would bring something to offer to the Lord. But now we would understand what I bring to the Lord, many times it's a sacrifice of praise. I bring my heart to him. And I acknowledge him as great. I acknowledge him as worthy. I acknowledge him as holy and righteous. And he's due worship. And it's my honor and my privilege as a child who's been redeemed, forgiven all the junk and the morass of my life, who's been washed by the precious blood of Jesus, just to come before him asking nothing. But I'm just here, Jesus, to minister to you, to rate nothing, but just love the King who's beautiful and pure, and to remember who he is and who I am in light of him. They're ministering unto the Lord, the Bible says. And they were also fasting. And I love this. So they're praying, they're fasting, and obviously fasting doesn't mean in between meals. Because yesterday I didn't have hardly anything between breakfast and lunch. It was a solid 3.5 hours. 3 1/4. I don't think that's what the scripture's talking about. They were giving up meals, they were giving up food to devote themselves to the Lord. And it's so funny about fasting, and I may talk about fasting more in a few minutes. But fasting, anybody love fasting because we want to pray for you? Linda, God bless you. I know you're born again. Yeah, I'm getting there. I don't like fasting. I like eating a lot. And I used to have a thought about fasting. I'm going to get God's attention. Anybody ever think that? If I fast, I'm going to get God's attention. Absolutely. He's going to know I mean business. He's going to know I am serious. I'm serious. God, are you watching? But fasting has nothing to do with this. Fasting isn't to get God's attention. It's to get my attention. It's to focus me. Get this focused, not him focused. He's doing just fine. He's not impressed with me fasting. He's not impressed with me giving anything up for him. But he is blessed, not impressed, he's blessed with a soft heart. And fasting, Becca, helps clean out my bowl. from some of the crust, some of the grime of life, some of the stinky attitudes. I know you don't have them. Once or twice, I've struggled with bad attitudes. And fasting, it's just, I am humbling myself to put my heart posture before Him, that I might see Him, hear Him, experience Him more fully, more accurately. It's almost like a radio dial, old school. You know, you're trying to listen to 99.1 and you're on 99.3. Fasting and prayer just puts me from 99.3 back to 99.1, and it comes in clear. Not for His sake, for my sake. And these people, these servants of God, it appears they're asking for nothing. The text would lend itself to believe they're not asking for anything. They're not asking for help. They're not asking for money. They're not asking for food. They're not asking for an end of persecution. They're simply ministering unto God. And they came prepared. They've been fasting and praying. Because it's hard to show up for a church meeting and start fasting. Does that make sense? I've never done that. I'm going to go to the church meeting and I'm going to fast. No, I think I'm missing the point somewhere. Fasting takes a lot of prior thought and prior activity or lack thereof. They came seemingly in this powerful, amazing church in Antioch, and they came for Him. They're ministering to Him. They're praying and they're fasting and they're ministering to the King of Kings. And the most amazing thing happened. The scripture would say, while they're ministering to Him, you know what God did? God spoke to them. Let's read it. What does the Bible say? Verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. I wonder how often, anybody ever struggled to hear the voice of God, and you want to hear the voice of God, and you want to hear the voice of God, and Lord, it's been so long, and well, there's a couple like, I got an arm and a foot up. What would happen if I just changed how I approached Him? Rather than asking for this, asking for that, wanting this, reminding Him of all the things that aren't right in my life. What if I just set all those things aside? And I just focused on Him. Loving Him. Because I don't know about you, I have prayer requests. I have things undone in my life that I'm still believing for. But what if I, as a son, just stopped asking for lots of different stuff and I just said, thank you for everything I have. I'm just going to honor you. And I believe with all of my heart, when I approach Him like that, I don't think Holy Spirit can help Himself but jump in and start speaking. Because He sees a bowl that's sudsing, wanting cleaning, or maybe is already clean. He can't help Himself. Holy calls to holy. Pure calls to pure. They're calling out, they're worshiping, they're ministering, they're praying, they've been fasting. And the Holy Spirit breaks in and says, I would like to say amen. I got something for you. They weren't asking for anything, potentially. But this is what the Holy Spirit said. The whole church is about to change. History is about to change. Why? Because people were ministering to Him. And God says, I've got something to say. I want to bless what I'm doing in the earth. And I'm going to use y'all to do it. Which is even more amazing. Because I know me. And I'm happy to... And it's not a good thing. You might be like me. I know a lot of people I would use before me. Because I tend to think you're amazing. I know what I did this week. I'm way too sin conscious like most believers are. And I think Adair, oh, of course he wants to speak to you. Oh my gosh, he's going to use you. Healing, prophecy, anointing. Of course, you're Adair. Tom, Holy Spirit breaks in because he's got something to say. He's got people who are worshiping, who are listening. Voice is closed as far as my Santa Claus laundry list of things I want. I'm just him. And the Holy Spirit breaks in, and Holy Spirit said, verse 2, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. Two guys in the groom, two powerhouses, and they're known. They've already done amazing things. We looked at a few weeks ago, Acts chapter 9, Saul breathing murderous threats against the church, tearing the church apart. God intervened, broke into him, a voice from heaven. Saul is a powerhouse. And in this chapter, he goes from Saul to Paul. Note to self for future. And Barnabas, this is one of my main guys in the Bible. He's known as Mr. Encouragement. Coming alongside, believing in people. And the Holy Spirit says, those two guys, I want them. I know you're worshiping. I know you're ministering. I know you're all serious about life. Thank you. And in the midst of joining in, I want those two people, I want them for specific service. I want them. And can you imagine the church in Antioch? Oh, I'd love to break into a sports illustration here, but I won't. Okay. So the Lord comes to the St. Louis Cardinals. And he says, I want Albert Pujols and Adam Wainwright. I'm taking them. I'm going to go use them to preach the gospel in Ukraine. Not Pujols of old and Wainwright of old. No, not them two. We need them. You can have our backup shortstop and our lefty who can't throw the ball over the plate. You can have those two. But not Pujols and Wainwright. These guys are powerhouses. And the Lord says, I'll take your finest. I'll take your most gifted. And I'll use your powerhouses. Are you willing to sow and send and give your best, not your leftovers? And I found the Lord always is wanting to touch the best that I have, not my leftovers, not my leftover time, but the best of my time, the first fruits, not just money, but the first fruits. He's a king who's worthy of my best, not my extraneous, not my extras. Holy Spirit says, I'll take Barnabas and Saul. Verse 3. Then when they had prayed and fasted and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Has anybody ever, you read stuff like this and you think, why doesn't this stuff happen nowadays? Anybody ever think that? Why does it seem to happen in there? Why doesn't it happen now? That'd be so cool. It does happen. It's happened to me twice. Just real quick illustration, 1996. In 2 weeks' time, there's a gentleman who's going to minister here on a Sunday named Dan Reynolds. Anybody ever hear Dan Reynolds? He leads a church in St. Charles, Illinois. He's amazing. He's part of this church. He comes here regularly. He'll be ministering on the 8th of September. I think that's the right date. 2 weeks' time. In 1996, my wife and I were pastoring a church in England, and I was at a conference. There's probably 75 to 100 people in the room. And a gentleman by the name of Gerald Coates, an apostolic prophetic guy, he's teaching, and I'm 37 years old, young guy. Wow, young guy. And I'm just sitting there, and there's just some powerful people in the room, amazing people in the room that I grew up knowing their names. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I must have slipped in the back door. And this guy, Gerald Coates, he's an apostolic, famous in England. He's just gone on to be with the Lord. He stops in the middle of his message, and he goes like this. He says, Tom, but he didn't say Tom. He said, you, in the yellow striped shirt, stand up. I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought I already repented of that. I really do. I meant it. I'm sorry. Not in front of everybody. It's funny what goes through your mind. I really meant it. I'm never going to do that again. Promise. You in the striped shirt stand up, and he looked over at a 22-year-old guy with a blue shirt. Blue? Blue. And he tells his 22, anybody 22 years old here? Heather? No, I'm not, it's not, have you lived at least 22 years? Are you 22 currently? Anybody 22 years old? Next time. So he points to this young man who's, I didn't know him. All I know is he didn't have any skin color at all. You'll see him in 2 weeks. And he points out this guy in the black shirt, me in the striped shirt, and he says, get up on the stage and face each other. And I was probably, can you stand up real quick, sweet pie? And he had us about this far apart. And I'm looking at this young man, and I'm like, what did you do you didn't repent of? This is a twofer. This is old school. I bet yours is worse than mine.
Probably.
Probably not. So this guy comes over, this prophet, this apostle named Gerald, and he starts prophesying what God's going to do with us, through us, in the decades to come. I'm looking at this young guy, and I'm thinking, one, why don't you have any skin color? You are ghost white. You need a tan. You need to go to Florida. And he starts prophesying what's going to happen for the rest of our days together. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. Then amazing, we blew apart. He went backwards. I went backwards. That's enough of this. Thank you, sweetheart. And that was Dan Reynolds. That was 28 years ago, almost to the day. And Dan and I have been joined working together for the last 28. Holy Spirit still wants to break in and speak to us. And I wonder if there would be more of it in our midst, in my life, if I stopped with the yakking, stopped with the asking, stopped with my laundry list of all the things that aren't right, all the things I want, all the things that are wrong with my spouse. You know that's not true. Maybe it's Randy. You should stop telling him all the things wrong with me. Yeah, I think that's true. Maybe if I just started ministering to him, maybe I would hear his voice more clearly. Maybe he would feel like he has a moment to interject in my life. If I just started ministering to him and turned my focus to what my world wants and needs and just bless his holy name. I wonder if Holy Spirit would begin breaking in more often if I changed the focus off of Tom and off of me. And I just said, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. And I just started cataloging, categorizing all the amazing things he's done. You saved me from this. You saved me from this. You changed me here. You're so good. You're so kind. Why me? Why would you put your hand on me? These disciples, these five people mentioned in chapter 13, they were focusing on heaven, focusing on Jesus. And God broke in, and the church changed because these two men began a journey and journeys that changed the face of the known world at that time. Revival broke out because God spoke. Not as a result of a prayer request, as a result of just honoring him. I wonder what might break out in my life if I just started focusing a little more on him. Luke 10:40, one of my more pleasant scriptures. Luke 10, verse 40 to 42. There was two sisters. And Jesus came to the house, and one was a great cook, and one was a great listener. And Martha was the great cook. And I think she gets a bad rap. I love good cooks. You can have me over anytime. And Martha was irritated by her sister because Sissy Sue is sitting at Jesus, not at his feet, not helping, not doing anything. She didn't help. I'm sure she didn't vacuum before he came over. She didn't do anything. She's in her prayer closet, just me and Jesus. And Martha is so frustrated by this spiritual sister of hers. And Luke 10, verse 40 says this, but Martha, good cook, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations, all the things she's doing for Jesus, because Jesus is coming to her house. And he's right there, and she's missed him. She's missed him because she's busy with what she thinks he would want. I wonder how many of us fall into that category. We stop sitting at his feet because we're doing so much for him. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him, Jesus, capital H, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister, super spiritual Mary, from Martha's perspective, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone, you whiner? If you care, then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. When he says your name twice, not good usually. Not good. Tommy, Tommy. Yeah. Martha, Martha. And it's said with kindness and love, not frustration. He wants to get her attention. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. I wonder how many names I could write in that list right there. Insert Martha and throw in Joe and Billy and Claude and Cletus and Carl and Floyd. And there's some ladies' names we could put in there too. And Jesus looks at her with love and compassion and empathy. You're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which I will not take away from her. Same thing, chapter 13, verse 2. They could have done a whole bunch of things, a laundry list. Church needs, prayer needs, ministry needs. We need help in the kids' church. We need a drummer every week. Lord, are you listening? Hello. I'm going to remind you again. What if we just all came every week, collectively, just for him? Just for him. Unless you're doing coffee, you need to be busy. Just kidding, kidding. Revelation 2:4. Holy Spirit is speaking to a church in Ephesus. And they're doing so many good things in this church in Ephesus. So many good things. But chapter 2, verse 4 of Revelation. Holy Spirit speaking to this church and he says, but I have this against you that you have left your first love. You're doing so many great things. You're amazing. You are knocking it out of the park. You just forgot about one thing. Me. Hello. Jesus himself. In Luke 5, verse 16, the Bible says this about Jesus. When he was on earth ministering and leading and showing his disciples how to live their life. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. That's what he was known for. Where is he? Yeah, I bet he's going. He's praying. He's left the hubbub and all the activity. Luke 6, verse 12 through 13. Bible says this. It was at this time that he, Jesus, went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. This is Jesus. Do you think he needed to? I mean, he's Jesus. He's connected. He was never disconnected. He's totally connected. And yet he's got important things happening in his life, so he takes the whole night to pray. It's Jesus. He's totally connected. And yet he still sets the time aside for his dad. He spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples together to him. And he chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. And I look at Jesus' life and I think, if he needed to get away and pray a lot, do you think Tom might need to? I mean, just a chance. I'm just thinking Jesus was more connected than I am. And yet, that's what he did. GBH, great but how. Let's land this puppy. Great but how. Thank you, Becca. Early advert for GBH. Have you ever had in your life people or that person who always calls you when they need something or want something? Probably a family member. They do that. And you never hear from them unless they need or want something. I get so irritated. Floyd. Money. My car. I wonder what it is this time. Bad attitude. King, bad attitude. But we have those people in our life, you only hear from them when they need something. It just irritates me. I know it doesn't you because you're Christian. Every once in a while, I wonder if that's how I am with my Father in heaven. The only time I call him, talk to him, is when I need something or want something. I wonder how much time I'm with my best friend and I'm just talking everywhere I go, all the time. I wonder how I'm treating Jesus. I wonder how Tom is treating Jesus. Am I treating him like that friend? Or am I treating like the love of my life? And I can't wait to spend time with him again. Just me and him. I'm just going to throw something out for consideration. Because they were doing this in the beginning of Acts chapter 13. One of my favorite scriptures, and I'll tell you why. On August 3rd of 1977, I got saved. I became a Christian on August 3rd, 1977. On August 11, I did something 8 days later, incredibly stupid. I have a gifting. And the man who led me to the Lord was a man named Owen. Great friend. He was a great sinner. Got saved just before I did, and he told me all about Jesus. And 8 days later, I was with my friend Owen, both brand new Christians. I'm an eight-day-old Christian. And I said, Owen, I can't hear the Lord's voice. I've never heard the Lord's voice. How do I hear the Lord's voice? He said, I don't remember what he said. I guess I wasn't a very good listener. And I said, well, Owen, what if I did this? What if I opened up the Bible, put my finger on a page, could he speak to me? And he went, I said, but could he? He said, it's not impossible. So I said, oh, I'm going to do it. And I was hoping it wasn't one of those repent lest they tear you to pieces. One of those scriptures. And he fell over and his guts spilled. You know, one of those, you don't want one of those verses. This is August 11, 1977. 8 days old as a Christian. I am wet paint, baby. And not a pretty color. I open up my Bible, put my finger on a page, and it hit Isaiah 58, verse 11 and 12. Right there. And I just read it. I had no idea. I didn't even know Isaiah was in the Bible. Put my finger on it, and this is what it said. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. And I know this verse 12 is a prophetic passage about Jesus. All of it's a prophetic passage about Jesus. But in particular, verse 12, about Jesus. But for me, it was a prophetic word for my life. And you will be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. And God, and I, my mouth was open, which is not unusual. And God has spoken that to me prophetically so many times by so many different people over the years. But it's out of a famous passage in Isaiah 58. Can I just read 6 verses and close and pray? Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 12 says this. Is this not the fast which I have chosen? This is the Lord speaking. To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. That's the kind of fast the Lord has chosen. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light will break out like the dawn and your recovery will speedily spring forth and your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If, Tom, if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, speaking wickedness, judging people, judging things, judging everything, Tom, if you'll stop that, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness. And your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in sun-scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a well-watered garden and a spring of water whose waters never fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins and you will raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets in which to dwell. I'm just going to throw this out for just me and you, no one else. There's, I don't know how many people in here, but I'm not talking to them. It's just me and you. What if we just decided in the next month, I'm going to skip 3 lunches? That's a big deal, I know. I love lunch. I love lunch more than you. What if I just started taking some time, not to twist his arm, not to see if he's really listening, but what if I start setting some time aside to focus my heart, to focus my ears, set aside my prayer list, and I just ministered to him? I wonder what would happen in my life. I wonder what would happen in your life. It's just a thought. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you love me, that you're for me, that you're with me. You've never left me, and you promised never to leave me. Jesus, I thank you for all your goodness that you've shown me so consistently every day of my life. Lord, and I want to be like these people in Acts 13 who just decided, I just want to love you. I just want to minister to you. I don't want to come to you with anything. I just want to worship you and honor you and bless your name and give you thanks for all the things you've already done in my life. I just want to say thank you. And I want to recall all the good things, to forget none of your benefits. That I'm not an ungrateful child, waiting for the next present and throwing it to the side and looking for the next present and throwing it to the side. That I would actually stop and acknowledge your goodness. No matter what happens in my future, Lord, I know you'll be part of it, but I can see your goodness all the days of my life. And I want to be a worshiper. And I choose you, Jesus. I choose you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here for us. You're with us. You want to break in amongst us. You want to set people aside for specific purpose. You want to bring anointings. You want to bring giftings. You want to highlight people, accentuate people. You want to encourage the lonely. Give hope to the discouraged. Healing to those who need healing. It's what you do, Jesus, and it's what you're great at. But Lord, if it never happens from this day forward, I will love you. And to the grave, Lord, I will say thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've already done. Father, I pray for this body, of this family of people, that we would miss nothing going forward. That we wouldn't miss you and going forward. That we wouldn't forsake and forget our first love. That we would be worshipers of you. People who honor you with every bit of our life. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do with this family. We want to set you as number one and keep you as number one as long as we have breath in our body. Jesus, it's about you. It will always be about you. I pray for courage and strength and health and healing in this family. If you'd like to be prayed for this morning, whether you feel like you've got crusty bowl, and I'm just so struggling, if you want somebody just to pray with you and stand with you, to speak strength and life and encouragement, we'd love to do that. If I can have the prayer team come up. If you want somebody to pray for you, Holy Spirit is here to bring life. It's what he does. We'd like to stand with you. So if you're a guest here, I'd love to meet you. My wife and I will be out front. At least I will be. I think my wife might be taking somebody home. We'd love to meet you. Thank you for being here. Be blessed and encouraged. On your way out, say hi to somebody. Bless them. Encourage them. Speak the word of life to them. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.